book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. As we deliver this message or lesson, I want you to remember last Wednesday night we preached on Christ takes the law a step further. And when we talk about the law, and what we're talking about tonight is not just outward obedience, it certainly includes outward obedience, but keep in mind that everything we say tonight, we're including the most important part, and that is the heart. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 3, "And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." So the time mentioned in this verse is the 40th year, first day of the 11th month, referring to the coming of the children out of Israel. It was at this time that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. In other words, he gave them a review course concerning the commandments of God, concerning the laws of God. Therefore, it's called the book of Deuteronomy, which simply means second law, which indicates that the law of God is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. Again, Moses is giving them a review course in the law of God. As you read through the book of Deuteronomy, you see it consists of a series of farewell messages by Israel's leader, who at this time was 120 years old, that of course being Moses. And in these farewell addresses, he simply is repeating the laws of God. He's reminding them of the laws of God. Again, they were so important that they were repeated. And the laws of God are of the utmost importance. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy is really a book about obedience. The word "thou shalt" occurs about 230 times in the book. The words "thou shalt not" occur a little over 75 times. The words "observe to do" occur 14 times. The words "to do" occur 35 times. The words "I command" occur 36 times. And the words "commandment" occur 42 times. The words "keep the commandments" occur a half a dozen times. So the purpose of the book is to show Israel, to remind Israel, before they went into the promised land, that they were under the government of God. We also need to be reminded of that we are under the government of God. The laws which God gave to Israel consist, of course, of three types. There was ceremonial, which no longer apply to us today. They were fulfilled in Christ. There are the civil laws that God gave for Israel, for the nation of Israel. There are the moral laws of God, which of course are still in existence today. But overall, there are over 2,000 laws in the Old Testament. God's laws are simply rules of conduct. And again, it goes beyond outward conduct. They are his appointments, his determinations, his sanctions, his orders. They are his boundaries. They are the boundaries that God has set for you and I. God's laws are the declaration of what God wants. And that is something that ought to interest every child of God. What does God want? That is something that ought to interest us in every situation that we find ourselves in every circumstance that we find ourselves in, and in every aspect of our lives. What does God want? And God's laws tell us what He wants. God's laws tell us what He expects. The grounds of enforcement of the laws of God are threefold. And we see that in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, in the introduction to the Ten Commandments. He says, I am the Lord. That is the first We read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, that if we love God, the commandments of God are not grievous. That is, it's not something we dread. It's not something we try to avoid. Love to God causes one to want to keep the laws of God. Love to God causes one to be interested in what God wants. And though we are no longer under ceremonial law, and though many of the laws of the Old Testament were civil, that is, they applied to Israel only, these laws reveal truths. These laws reveal principles that are applicable to our lives today. And that's what we want to look at this evening, the teaching and principles of God's laws. We want to consider five main points concerning the laws of God, making application, of course, to ourselves. First of all, point number one, we need to realize the importance of God's laws. And the importance of God's laws are stressed. It's stressed here in the book of Deuteronomy. The very fact that they were repeated stresses the importance of the laws of God. It is also seen from the fact that God's people were to know the laws of God. They were responsible to know what God wanted. They were responsible to know what God expected of them. They were to know the laws of God. And it ought to interest every child of God. What are the laws of God? What does God expect of me? What does God want me to do? What does God want me not to do? That ought to interest the child of God. Notice in the book of Exodus chapter 18, again, that the people were to know the laws of God. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 16. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. I do make them know. God's people need to know. God's people need to know the laws of God. God's people need to know what the principles that God's laws teach us today. The people were to store in their hearts the laws of God. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So they were to know the laws of God. They were to keep the laws of God, or to store the laws of God in their hearts. And we see they were to teach the commands of God to their children. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou wakest, or when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That covers all aspects of life. And they were to teach their children diligently what God expects. They were to teach them diligently the laws of God. We see in Deuteronomy 6, verses 7 and 8, that they were to have the commands of God always before them. They were to always be mindful. What does God want? What does God expect? The laws of God were publicly read. They were publicly read at the Feast of the Tabernacle in the sabbatical year there in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13. They just stood and read the laws of God. Malachi 4 and verse 4 says that we are to remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with all the statutes and the judgments. So we see the importance of God's laws are stressed throughout. Secondly, God's laws proclaim some truths about God. The laws that God gave to Israel proclaim God's authority. God has authority. God has absolute authority. Every command, whether it be ceremonial, whether it be civil, whether it be moral, whether the specific law applies to us today or not, the principle is this: every command issued, every prohibition that God gave, again, whether it be in the moral law, the civil law, or the ceremonial law, every command, every prohibition declares the absolute authority of God. And the fact that God has laws declares the authority of God. And that's what God's people, even God's people, buck against today, and that is the authority of God. God has laws. That means God has authority. He has authority in our lives. The authority, of course, the authority of God, that speaks of His jurisdiction. What area of your life does God not have jurisdiction? He has jurisdiction in all areas. In every area, in every circumstance, He has authority, He has jurisdiction, He has rule, He has the right to command you and I to do something, He has the right to command you and I not to do something. That's His right. He's God. Again, right before the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord. That's His authority. Secondly, the laws of God proclaim the government of God. Again, every law laid down, every prohibition, every command issued was a declaration that God rules. That God rules. That God has rule in our lives. Also concerning what the law of God says about God, the laws that God gave Israel proclaimed that he had a claim upon him, upon them. Every command states this truth. God has absolute claim upon your life. Every prohibition, whether you agree with it or not, every prohibition declares that God has a claim upon you. And every time the laws of God were read, it was a reminder to Israel that God has absolute claim upon your life. This too is something that people are bucking against today. They want God to rule in certain areas of their life, the areas that they permit him to do so. In the other areas, that's their business. No, it's God's business in every area. And God has claim upon you and I. He has claim on our very lives. In every aspect, in every circumstance, in every situation. He has a right to demand what he wants. He has a right to prohibit whatever it is that he wants. God prohibits something and you say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, who are you? I am the Lord, he says. Who are you? You're just his creature. You're his creation. You're his handiwork. Who are you to say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it? Who are you to say, well, I don't agree? Well, that makes you wrong. Because God is right. So it declares God has a claim. The laws that God gave to Israel proclaim that God has standards. Every law, whether the specific law applies to you and I today, every law in principle teaches that God has standards. And it's God's standards by which you and I are measured. It is God's standards that matter. And as you read the laws of God, you learn something about God. You learn that God is very precise. God is very definite. How many times people say, well, that doesn't matter? Well, why don't you talk to God about that? Because God is very precise. God is very definite. And the fact that God is precise, this is most clearly seen in the ceremonial laws. Very definite specifics were laid down concerning, read Leviticus 1 through 5. Very definite specifics were laid down concerning the burnt offering. The meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. These were very specific. Nothing was left to the whims of man. Nothing was left to the opinions of man. They were very definite. There were very definite and specific laws concerning the priests as they ministered at the altar of God. There were very definitive laws concerning the feast days. Very definitive laws concerning the daily offerings, the Sabbath offerings, the yearly offerings. All of these laws were very precise. They were very definite, which declares to everyone, God is precise. And it also declares it does matter. It does matter. It matters to God how things are done. Oh, it might not matter to man, but it matters to God. And the laws of God make this very, very clear. Now, in a day when our society, or society of the world and culture, is engulfed in moral relativism, which basically says there is no absolute truth, there is no authority, there is no standard, God's law says different. God's laws, every single one of them, declares that he has standards. And there is no higher standard than the standard of God. You see, man today wants to believe that there are no guidelines. You just choose your own guidelines. Well, God's laws say different. God's laws command tell us that God has standards. So the laws of God, the importance of them are stressed. Secondly, the laws of God teach us some things about God. Thirdly, the laws of God proclaim some truths about man. You ever stop and think, God commands you and I to love Him? Do you ever stop and think what that says about us? That we would have to be commanded to love God? That we would have to be commanded, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. The very fact that we have to be told these things speaks volumes of our depravity. And every law, every command, every prohibition was a reminder of man's condition. But not only that, it is a reminder that man is responsible. We are responsible to God. An individual may say, I don't believe in God. You're still responsible to Him. Every man, every individual born is responsible to the Lord. And they are duty bound to obey every law of God. Every law, every command, every prohibition declares that man not only is responsible, but man is accountable. Wherever there is a law, the implication is there is accountability. God has laws. The implication is that man is accountable. You and I will give account. We will have to answer. A law implies that there are consequences. Every command, every prohibition of God is a declaration to man that there are consequences to disobeying the laws of God. Keep in mind again, you and I have not obeyed the laws if all we do is obey them outwardly. Christ takes it further. The laws of God proclaim man's need, proclaims our need. And as we've already said, it proclaims our depravity. It declares that we have sinful inclinations. It declares that we are very prone to wander. You see, man needed boundaries. We all need boundaries. And God has set boundaries. Therefore, the laws of God are an act of God's mercy. Because without boundaries, man will destroy himself. All you have to do is open your eyes and open your ears today. Man is destroying himself because they disregard what? The boundaries that God has set. God has set these laws. That's an act of mercy. He is protecting us from ourselves. Man needs boundaries. Man needs confines for his own protection. And therefore, God gives laws. Man needs boundaries for his own well-being. You realize how much better off you and I would be if we simply obeyed the laws of God?
You realize how much better off society would be if they simply obeyed the Ten Commandments, which basically summarize all the laws of God. They are there for our well-being. They are there for the well-being of society. That means that these laws were given in mercy. So God's laws proclaim some truths about you and I. Fourthly, the consequences of breaking God's laws proclaim the seriousness of His laws. This is clearly seen if you read through the Old Testament, particularly the book of Exodus, book of Deuteronomy, and you read of the punishments that were to be inflicted for disobedience to the laws of God. Consider that people were to be stoned to death for speaking a word of blasphemy. Is there any one of us that would survive? No. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of blasphemy at one time or another in our lives. And the penalty for blasphemy was to be stoned to death. The penalty for Sabbath breaking. I got news for you. There wouldn't be anybody in our churches today if people were stoned to death for Sabbath breaking. It's one of the most disregarded laws of the day. The people were stoned to death for breaking the Sabbath. For breaking the Sabbath. They were stoned to death for following false religions, following the gods of the Canaanites, the heathen. They were stoned to death for idolatry. We've all committed idolatry in our hearts and in deed. They were stoned to death for adultery and fornication. And as we saw last week, we're all guilty. Oh, we may not have committed the direct act, but every one of us that are adults have in our hearts and in our minds disrespect for parents. People were stoned to death. I wouldn't have lived past 1 year old, 2 years old. But they were stoned to death. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is Old Testament. And we don't stone people today for idolatry and for breaking the Sabbath. And that's true. And those laws were strictly for Israel. But why? Why were the punishments so severe? To teach us a principle. To remind us of a truth. The seriousness of breaking the law of God. When you break the Sabbath day, I don't mean that, well, I do, to take your enjoyment out of you sitting in the restaurant on Sunday or going to the ballpark or whatever, but I want you to sit there and think about those people that were stoned for breaking the Sabbath day. It's serious matter. It's serious business. When a child talk back to the parents. When a child disrespected their parents. When a child disrespected mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. There were serious consequences. This shows the seriousness of breaking the laws of God. Yet today the attitude is, well, everybody does it. What's that got to do with anything? Absolutely nothing. It shows the seriousness and the gravity of the laws of God. This is why the inflictions were so severe. To teach us to break a law of God, and I don't care which law it is. To break a law of God is a serious matter. Whether we break it in action or whether we break it in our heart or in our mind or in our hearts. It is a serious matter to break a law of God. And we're reminded of this all through the Old Testament. Fifthly, you ever stop and think about the variety of God's laws? The variety of God's laws proclaim that they are for every aspect, every circumstance, and every situation of our lives. As much as people try, you cannot put this area of your life over here and separate it from the law of God. The variety of God's laws proclaim that He is to have rule, He is to have authority, He has claim, He governs every aspect, every circumstance, and every situation of our lives. There were laws regarding the aspect of worship. We find them all through the Old Testament. Today's attitude is, well, as long as someone's sincere. Find that anywhere in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. It's not even implied. God was very precise when it came to worshiping Him. Very precise. The truth is, as we've already done a series on worship, there's very little, if any, true worship that takes place on planet Earth today. There were laws regarding every aspect of the family. God had very precise laws concerning marriage. God had very precise laws concerning divorce and concerning remarriage. God had very precise laws concerning parenting. Very precise laws concerning children. Very precise laws concerning relationships between husbands and wives. There were laws regarding every aspect of the family. And there still is today. You cannot separate your family life from the laws of God. God has claim upon our homes. God has claim upon our marriages. God has claim upon every aspect of family life. There were laws regarding labor, employers and employees. You can't separate the workplace from God. God rules there too. God governs there too. God has claim there too. There were laws regarding money. A lot of laws in the Old Testament regarding money. And God has expectations concerning money, concerning how we spend it, concerning how we save it. It ought to interest us, what does God want? God has a claim upon every dime. He tells us to give a tenth, and then we're to give above that. But God doesn't just own the tenth. He owns it all. And He has claim upon every penny. He has authority. We need to realize these things. There were laws regarding property. Uncontrolled oxen. There were laws concerning that. Well, what's an oxen? Well, it mattered to God. There were laws concerning property in trust. There were laws concerning inheritances. There were laws concerning landmarks. There were even laws concerning fruit-bearing trees. I mean, the laws of God cover every aspect of living. What it teaches us is this. God has authority in everything. In every area of our life. In every aspect of our life. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 22. Let's turn there.
I almost find it humorous that certain laws are just picked out, especially of Deuteronomy chapter 22, and doctrines built upon them. I'm referring to Deuteronomy 22:5. I believe what Deuteronomy 22:5 says. If that's all you got, is Deuteronomy 22:5, you've got serious problems with the rest of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, if you're going to be consistent. Again, I believe wholeheartedly in what Deuteronomy 22:5 says. Woman should not dress like a man should not dress like a woman. I believe the Bible teaches that, not just Deuteronomy 22:5. This was a civil law. Now notice, as you read through Deuteronomy 22, there were laws regarding the building of houses. When thou build, verse 8, when thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. You say, I'm building my own house, it's my business. God says, I have a say in that. I have a say in how you build the house. And that's true today. God has something to say about everything. You may not want to know it, but God has something to say about everything. And God has a claim. And God has authority in everything. There were laws regarding gardening. Deuteronomy 22:9. Again, if you're just going to pick out one verse, pick out these as well. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds. That is, folks, if you've got a garden, you grow corn and corn only. You grow green beans and green beans only. That has just as much authority as Deuteronomy 22:5. Now again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that I don't believe what Deuteronomy 22:5 teaches. What I'm trying to show is when that's your only argument, one of these days you're going to run across somebody that's read Deuteronomy 22. And they're going to say, buddy, you're nuts. You've lost your mind. If that's all you've got to base it on. Deuteronomy 22:9, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. There were rules concerning gardening. There were laws regarding farming. Deuteronomy 22:10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Can't mix them. That tells me that your lawnmower and your weed eater better be the same brand. He's saying, I don't want you to mix these things. You say, what's the point of these laws? It shows that God has authority in everything. Everything. And he has claim in everything. And it's teaching Israel that they were to be a separated people. There were laws regarding clothing. Verse 5 again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. And I believe that's true. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. I believe that's true. For all they that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Then notice verse 11. And it has just as much authority as verse 5. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. That is, you wear all cotton, you wear all polyester, you don't mix. That's what it's teaching. These were civil laws for Israel. But what we need to concentrate is on the, what I'm concentrating on tonight is the principles laid down. They were not to wear divers materials together. You say, what does it matter? Everything matters to God. Everything. You say, oh, that's a small matter. Not if God said you shouldn't do it. Again, there's a principle being taught here. The importance.
of God's laws and how they relate to every aspect of our lives. There were laws regarding restitution. There were laws regarding business. There were to be no interest on loans to God's people. No bribes, no oppression. There were laws regarding animals. There were laws regarding neighbors. There were laws regarding war. There were laws regarding justice. There were laws regarding health. There were dietary laws. Read the book of Leviticus. Those dietary laws, I believe if we followed them, we would be a healthier people. But in principle, they teach a valuable lesson. And that is, God has authority even when it comes to what we eat. God has authority. He said, I can eat what I want. Not according to God. You see, again, the whole point is this, that in every area of our life, God has claim. God has authority. God has standards. There were laws regarding clean and unclean, Leviticus chapter 11. So what we see here is that we are called to live out every aspect of our lives to the obedience of what God has said. Whether it be dress, whether it be where we shop, whether it be how we drive, whether it be how we eat, God has authority in every area of our lives. And we get a tendency to think that there are certain areas that are off limits to God. There is no such area. There is no such area. With all of these laws, they were being reminded that in every aspect of their lives, God had authority. We need to always remember that. That is why you ought to pray and you ought to seek God's will. Who you marry, when you marry, where you work, when you work. You ought to seek God's will. You say, that's my business. No, it's not. That's God's business. He has authority. He has claim in every area of your life. Where you ought to live. You ought to want to know what God wants. When you ought to live there. Again, all of these things are important. It shows that in every area of our life, God has boundaries. And oh, how we ought to thank God for His boundaries. Satan was right when he said to God, you have hedged him in. Oh, thank God. You have put a hedge about him. God has put a hedge about us. God's laws serve as a hedge about us. And we are in great danger when we cross that hedge. It reminds us, they were being reminded with each law that God has standards in everything. That God has rights in everything. You know, I get a little tired of hearing about human rights, animal rights, and it's been a long time since I heard anybody say anything about God's rights. And God has all rights. He has all rights. Teaches us that we are responsible and accountable to God in every aspect of our lives. In all of these laws, Israel was being reminded of the seriousness of obeying God. It's serious business to obey God. To be doing what God wants. They were being taught to be mindful of God in all things. I mean, you read Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you build a house, you be mindful of God. If you go out and you plant seeds in a garden or in a field, you be mindful of God. When you get dressed in the morning, you be mindful of God. That's what he's saying all through these laws. Be mindful of God. Keep in mind, what does God want? People don't like that today. They'd rather disregard. They'd rather not think about what God wants. They were also being reminded to acknowledge God in all their ways and in all things, in all situations. Again, God has something to say about everything. And everything matters. Everything matters. Some things matter more than others. There's no doubt about that. But everything matters. And God has something to say about it. And we ought to always concern ourselves. What does God want? What does God want? It's not what I feel like. What does God want? That needs to be our chief concern all the time. In our homes, what does God want? When a husband and wife can't get along, what does God want? What does God want? When it comes to raising children, what does God want? When it comes to working, what does God want? When it comes to spending, when it comes to saving, what does God want? God has authority. God has claim. And I don't care if it's ceremonial law, civil law, or moral law, or whether the law applies to you and I directly today, the principles are still there for all of these things. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Jim will lead us in singing.